Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello, and welcome to Quick Save, our semi-sort of weekly gaming segment of Comic Book Nation here. I am your host, Logan Moore. And Ricky, today, it is just you and I. Co-hosting today is Ricky Freck. Hello.
Hey, how's it going? Happy to be here on the greatest day of the year.
I'm sorry that I'm taking you away from opening day of, I guess it's technically not the opening of the basketball tournament because they do the stupid first four stuff and sounds like they're about to expand that and make that even worse, but that's a whole conversation unto itself. we are kind of going to talk about sports later in this episode to outline what we're going to talk about today. Ricky and I are going to discuss Marvel 1943, Rise of Hydra, the upcoming game from Marvel, and Skydance Media, which was announced a couple of years back, coming from the creator of Uncharted. And then in the back half of the show, we're going to talk about our thoughts on two of the biggest releases of this week. I have reviewed and played Rise of the Ronin, and I have some thoughts about that one. And then Ricky and I have both been playing MLB The Show. We probably won't talk about MLB too much because, you know, it's just another entry in an annualized sports franchise. But I think we can probably get some thoughts shared amongst one another. Let's start with Marvel 1943, Rise of Hydra, though, today, Ricky. This was, as I mentioned, this is coming from Skydance New Media with a partnership with Marvel Games. This game was announced first back in 2022. This is the newest project from Amy Hennig, who is the lead writer and director of the original Uncharted game. So she's basically the creator of the Uncharted franchise over there at Naughty Dog. This is her first new project in, I don't know, a really long time. I want to say since like Uncharted 3, because obviously she worked on Uncharted 4, but then that project, that like original version of that game, got scrapped, and then she went to go make the Star Wars game, and then that got canned, and Visceral as a whole got closed, and so now she's here and she's making this game. And so we've got a Black Panther and Captain America game set during 1943. It's obviously going to center around Hydra, which means, you know, I would hope like Red Skull is involved with this game, even though we haven't seen anything of the sort yet in this initial trailer. Ricky, what are just your immediate thoughts on this trailer, the title of this game, which I think is a very unique title that they've decided to go with? What are your broad thoughts now that we've seen a little bit more of this game?
Well, you have this as a bullet point, but I think like it's worth saying it looks very good. But, you know, that's obviously like CGI footage. So it's not a ton you can actually like tell, I guess. Have they said what the gameplay is going to be like yet?
They have described it as an action adventure game, I believe. I think it's a third person action adventure game. So kind of there in the same sort of wheelhouse as Amy Hennig's previous games that she's made.
Yeah. Well, and I read somewhere that they're going to have, it's like a, you have four characters, which is potentially scary, but
it's four characters. It's the characters here are obviously Captain America, Black Panther. The version of Black Panther is T'Chanda though, or Azuri, which is, T'Challa's grandfather. So that's we're going two Black Panthers into the past here, and then we've got Gabriel Jones, who's one of the members of the Howling Commandos, which makes me wonder if they're going to put like Nick Fury or anything in this game. I'm not sure if they will. And then the other fourth playable character is Nanali, who is a Wakandan spy.
Right. Oh, and you can see them here. Those
yeah, you can see them all.
Okay. Yeah. So I think like the title reminds me a lot of those. I don't know their exact. I'm not a huge comic fan. I mean, I read them, but there's those comics. It's like Marvel 7. You know, it's like they go into the past, right? So like deeper into the past. So it reminds me a lot of that. Which I think those are probably my favorite non X-Men specific Marvel comics, where I know it's like a very niche thing to say, I guess. I don't know. But so that has me excited. But, you know, again, it's just CGI. It's hard to actually tell what it's going to play like. So I think, and look, this probably does not surprise you, Logan, not a huge fan of the Uncharted series. So Amy Hennig being behind it is not a huge deal for me. I mean, I think she's very good at what she does. It's just not, you know, my style of video game, but I think that this definitely has, you know, it's going to be, I think it's going to be very exciting. I hope it is good. The four person, just because we've been coming off of so many, like, you know, the Suicide Squad game and Marvel's Avengers, we've been coming off of so many games with multiple, but I don't know if this one's probably not going to be multiplayer. So
yeah, so that's the thing. They have not said, I think they're specifically saying that it is not. I think they have not described it as a single player or co-op. Like, I think you're going to play as specific characters in specific story instances, because it is described on the Marvel website as a upcoming narrative driven action adventure game, which to me means this is totally single player. And I don't think they're going to have you, you know, at the start of every mission be like, who do you want to play as, Black Panther or this standard US soldier? Because no one's ever going to play is the people that are not Black Panther in Captain America. So I would imagine you're going to cycle through all the different characters and different missions and stuff like that and see different perspectives. And obviously this trailer has got Captain America and Black Panther, you know, squaring off against one another, but you know, they'll form an uneasy alliance of some sort to fight Red Skull, Hydra, whatever. So a lot of what's been shown in this trailer, I imagine, is from the first hour, 2-3 hours of the game. It seems like it's still very early on. I, like you, my biggest question is just like how this is going to play. Again, I would imagine this is going to be, I don't know. Like, that's always the biggest question with these superhero games to me. And I think it's like why the Spider-Man games are so popular. It's like, yes, those games have great stories and they've got, you know, good characters and stuff like that. But like at the end of the day, it's just fun to swing around the city. Like, what is going to be the power fantasy that they give you here when it comes to being Captain America and Black Panther? Because we've already seen Captain America in some other video games, specifically, you know, thinking of Square Enix's Avengers game. And that wasn't great, you know, like, and not only that,
but Ultimate Alliance, Logan, that game is good.
Ultimate Alliance isn't too bad, but it's also not giving me, you know, a Captain America power fantasy that I'm necessarily looking for. I think my, you mentioned something like not liking Amy Hennig, or Hennig, not caring for the Uncharted games. I was going to say, I am very curious, like, she has very lofty expectations, I feel like, with this game, considering that she has not released a game in, what has it been, like 12 or 13 years? I think maybe, I think something in that range by the time that this launches, because this is set to come out next year. And so I'm wondering, like, she has really been coasting off of the Uncharted success for over a decade. And I feel like she's probably got some high expectations that she's put upon herself, I would imagine, helming this project. And not only that, but this is it. I mentioned that this project is coming from Skydance New Media, which is a newer studio that I don't think has really released I think Skydance has been releasing games for a couple of years now, but I think they've been like much smaller projects. Like I know they've had some like VR stuff.
Yeah, they did those Walking Dead Saints and Sinners yes. VR games, which are very yeah. good. So
this is the first time they've really poured like a lot of resources into a project of this nature. Like I think this studio that made this, or the development team that made this, was like built up around Amy as soon as they signed her okay. on.
Yeah.
So this is, yeah, I don't know. Like in that sense, it's like kind of concerning. It's like, okay, can a new team come along and do something like this? Are they going to have success with this? Because you just never know now mm-hmm. in today's like gaming landscape either. Like you've got established developers out there, you know, that people think they can trust, like I think of a CD Projekt Red, where it's like, here's Cyberpunk at launch, and it's just a total disaster on every front. So it's like, how is a new yeah. studio going to do coming into the scene? And again, everything about this, I think, looks great so far. I do want to go back to the visuals for a second, because I think this might be, in my write-up of this game yesterday, I said that this might be the, again, it's just CGI cutscenes that we're seeing, but this seems like the most like next gen thing that we've seen in a hot minute, in my opinion. Like okay, I don't feel like, I mean, you could tell me how you feel, but I still feel like we've not had a next gen experience this gen in some sense, because we're four or five years into the generation now with the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X, and everything is still, you know, on previous hardware as well. It seems like even, I mean, we're going to talk about this later in the show. I was going to invoke this as well, but like MLB The Show is still on like PS4 and X1. I just feel like a lot of things are still being hampered by previous hardware to some degree, and this very much does not look like that. Again, hopefully the gameplay kind of looks just as good, but like I don't know, what how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I was trying to think of anything. I mean, I'm not a big visuals guy in general. Like I prefer, you know, like I think the coolest thing I've seen on a next gen maybe is Deathloop, when it uses the triggers, they jam up. Like that might be the coolest thing I've seen so far. So, you know, I don't know if that's high praise or not, but yeah, I think visually this could be up there. We'll just have to see what it looks like, you know, in motion, so to speak, like when you're actually playing it. I think that'll be the telling point, but yeah, I definitely agree. We have not had anything that's just like really blown my socks off visually yet. So hopefully this is it. We'll see. I mean, as you said, it's a relatively new studio, so that could be hard to pull off. I don't pretend to be a video game developer or understand anything about it, but I would assume that would be tough, but we'll see.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I think so this was shown off at GDC, and this was kind of meant as like an exhibition piece for Unreal Engine. Like Epic was the one that showed this off to highlight like what Unreal Engine 5 is capable of. And so, yeah, in that sense, it's really impressive. And I know a lot of studios out there are making games in Unreal 5, and I still don't feel like we've seen a ton of them drop just yet. So it's fun to kind of get a peek of what might be possible here in the coming years. And knowing that something like a PlayStation 5 Pro is also on the horizon is enticing, especially for those of us who do play on consoles. The one other thing I wanted to kind of ask you about this, because again, there's not a ton yet. I still feel like we need to see gameplay and stuff like we were talking about here. But as I mentioned at the top, like there is a lot of Marvel games coming out, like a lot. And if we talk about what's in the Insomniac leaks, which we don't necessarily have to in case people don't want to be spoiled on that, but there's a lot coming from them too. Like, let's just say they might have three or four more Marvel games cooking themselves.
Yeah.
But just of the ones that we know of now, we've got Blade from Arcane. We've got EA that's working on both a Black Panther and an Iron Man game. We've got Marvel's Wolverine from Insomniac. We know they're going to make a Spider-Man 3 eventually. And then there are a couple. We've now got this one, Marvel 1943. And then, again, there's other Insomniac stuff that we know about.
Yeah.
How do we feel about this like deluge of Marvel games? And like, not only that, but like, I don't know, like with a studio like Insomniac, I'm almost a little bit disappointed to see how I love Marvel and I love comics, but like, I like seeing teams get creative and make new things. And it's not to say that you can't do that within the framework of a superhero or an established IP or anything like that. But like, I like seeing, you know, something like, I know it's not the most popular, but something like Resistance is like super fun to me. It's like, yeah, let's make like a World War II era game where also aliens invade. And, you know, it's like, what the heck? Like, I just like seeing unique like ideas like that pop up. So how do we feel about everything getting Marvel-fied across the industry? And like, what do you feel about this slate of upcoming games? And do you feel like, I guess, Marvel 1943 looks like the best of the bunch that we have seen so far?
So, okay, that's a lot of questions. Okay, first of all, yes, I do not really love, like, I haven't seen a Marvel movie in, I don't know, 5 years? I haven't seen a new
since
one.
Since Endgame, probably?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably since Endgame. I just don't care anymore. I haven't watched any of the TV shows. I have played Spider-Man 2. I did play that and didn't really like it. well, that, you know, I like how it played. So I guess that's, you know, that's what matters. But I will say, I don't mind that they keep going into the Marvel well, because I know it makes a lot of money. It, you know, it's going to be an easy way to sell copies in some respects. But what I would like to see is the games not all seem the same, right? Like they're all third person action adventure games. I like that, you know, like I brought up Ultimate Alliance earlier. I like games like, you know, when they were doing different kinds of stuff.
Midnight Suns is something that came out a couple of years ago and that was super different, and so that was kind of cool to see.
However, it ran like trash on PC at launch, and so I have not finished that game despite kind of liking it. So stuff like that, I think if we had that in addition to all this stuff, like if, you know, if it's Insomniac, if some other developer was making something more different, I might feel a little bit better about it. But when they all kind of look the same, and when, you know, we only have Wolverine, we don't have the whole X-Men team, because I'm a big X-Men fan. That's pretty much like the only Marvel stuff I've ever gotten into. I was like a big reader of the X-Men encyclopedia as a youth.
You and me both.
So that's really all I care about in terms of Marvel. I mean, Daredevil's cool, but I don't even know how you make that into a video game. I don't know. It's kind of getting to the point where it's a little too much, kind of like it is with the movies. And I will probably end up checking this one out just because it has a cool time setting, right? Like, it's a little different than just a modern day superhero thing. And like Black Panther is cool. I think Captain America is kind of lame, honestly, but no. You know, what could you do? I don't know. I just wish it was more, there was more diversity in like the types of games we were getting. Like, I wish we had a few more Midnight Suns coming out if we're going to have this many Marvel games. But at the same time, you know, they sell a lot of copies, so can you really get mad at them? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy seeing the sort of like one-off stuff where it doesn't feel like they're trying to spin this all into a larger franchise, if that makes any sense. Like,
yeah.
Midnight Suns is a good example. Guardians of the Galaxy was a good one because it was just like, okay, this feels like just a one-off game for a studio. Like Marvel's Wolverine, we know they're trying to spawn a new X-Men franchise with that. The same thing has happened with Spider-Man. I think it's weird that EA is making two different games at once. I mean, I guess PlayStation's doing it with Insomniac as well, but
yeah,
like EA has like spun up a whole studio to make the Black Panther game, I believe, which is kind of a little strange to me. I don't know. Like, honestly, the one I'm most interested and excited about of the bunch is Blade, but same. Also I feel like Blade does not get that much attention in larger Marvel media. So it's kind of like there is a sort of hunger and a desire to see what a team would do with a character like that that hasn't necessarily been in the spotlight too much as Marvel has grown in popularity over the past 15 to 20 years. Like an Iron Man game could be awesome, but it's also like, okay, I've been beaten over the head with Iron Man in comics and movies and other media for the longest period of time now. So, you know, it's like, okay, what are they going to do here that's going to make this different or interesting? And like, same thing with the Black Panther game. Like, we've got two sort of Black Panther games now releasing. We've got this standalone one at EA, and then we've got this one here with Marvel 1943. It's like, okay, like, how are those going to compare to one another? Like, what is going to be the mechanics of the character in this game compared to this game, you know? And so it's, I don't know. I wish there was a little bit more diversity. I do agree that Marvel 1943 here seems like one of the most unique ideas that they're doing. And this one seems very focused compared to a lot of the others, especially as we start to hear more about it. Like, this is striking me as like a 10 to 12 hour game that you play through and complete, and then you put it down and that's that. Like,
thank God we need those.
We absolutely need more of those. Like, the just constant continuous, like, what if we, you know, add new content, or what if we make it an open world game, or blah, blah, blah. Like, that, those are the kind of things I worry about with something like Iron Man or Black Panther, that they're going to make it like, what if you could run around all of Wakanda and it was as large as the world of The Witcher 3? And it's like, oh my gosh, I don't really know if I want that. Like, yeah, again, something like Spider-Man makes sense for that, but he's a character who traverses around a vast open world in New York City in the first place. So it's like, okay, that makes sense. But like, I don't know. I'm probably talking out of turn because there's still so many details, so many things that the teams internally making these games don't know about what they're going to end up creating, because a lot of these games are still very early in development. But
this one's out next year, right?
This one's out next year. Yeah. Okay. They didn't give us.
So hopefully they have that stuff locked down. Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. This one is coming in. It seems like this might be the next one that we get.
Okay.
We still don't know when Wolverine is coming out. Wolverine's not coming out this year, but I think it might be. I think next year might be both Marvel 1943 and Wolverine in the same year, potentially.
Okay.
But we're going to go a gap year here, unless there's like some Spider-Man 2 DLC or something that comes out, or something along those lines.
That would not be a surprise. Yeah, that definitely happened.
Yeah, which they haven't revealed just yet, but I mean, you would think that they would want to capitalize on that in some manner. I don't know. Yeah, I'll say this. I'm more okay with this than I am Star Wars getting a million different video games. I think I've got a little more burnt out on Star Wars in the video game space than Marvel. So, but maybe
I think you're right on that one.
Perhaps that's just me, even though that Mandalorian game they canceled sounded pretty cool. I would have played a Mandalorian first person shooter where you're running around and doing bounties or whatever. The one
that we already had that on the PlayStation 2, Logan. We don't need that again.
But Respawn didn't make that one. LucasArts.
Oh, so it'd be worse? Okay.
Oh, you're a Respawn hater too. All right. We're going to take a break.
I'm just a bounty hunter lover.
You're just a bounty hunter. We're going to take a break. When we come back, as I said before, we were going to talk about Rise of the Ronin. Give you my brief thoughts on that one, and then we're going to do a little bit of chatting about MLB The Show as well. So be sure to come back and join us here in just a minute for that.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome back to Quick Save. Ricky, let's talk about some samurai video games. Unfortunately, it's a samurai video game that is not very good.
Oh, man.
Rise of the Ronin is out this week. It launches tomorrow, March 22nd. I have been playing it the past couple of weeks. I've got a review up on comicbook.com, which you can go read. And in short, it's not great. I don't know. This is such a weird game. Like, this is the latest release from Team Ninja. The studio behind Ninja Gaiden, whatever you want to call it, and then a bunch of other stuff. This is their first sort of foray into it, the open world genre, and it very much feels like their first foray into the open world genre. That's sort of like the biggest issue with this game is that it borrows a lot of ideas and mechanics and systems from other games and just kind of throws them all together, which leads to the whole product not feeling very unique or like filled of any interesting ideas of its own. It's just kind of a hodgepodge of like Sekiro and Dark Souls and Ghost of Tsushima, and then there's some like Breath of the Wild stuff mixed in because they give your character a glider and then you can fly around through the skies and stuff like that. And so but it's not bad. Like, it's not horrible. It's just totally, totally forgettable. Like, 3 months from now, I will not have even remembered that I played this game or that it came out. And I think the weirdest bit about all this, which we can get into, is like PlayStation published this. Team Ninja is a studio owned by Koei Tecmo, but PlayStation published this one. So this is an exclusive for PlayStation 5.
Okay. And
it's weird that they're the publisher because it really just feels like an ultra budgeted version of Ghost of Tsushima. So it's like, rather than just release that sequel or, you know, continue building up the excitement and the hype for that inevitable sequel, they're like, what if we had this budgeted interstitial from Team Ninja that will kind of scratch that itch, but also not really whatsoever. So it's just a really weird game. I don't know how much you've seen from this one or if you had any interest in it whatsoever. But yeah, I don't know. We can talk more about it if you have any questions.
Well, let me ask you a couple questions just so we can give the people some more insight from what limited things I know. So here's my first question. Is the combat fun? Because this is a Team Ninja game. They usually have good combat. Is the combat good?
It's not bad. There are some things I like about it. So the combat is all tied to like the different weapons that you have and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get a katana or you can get a pole staff or you can get a spear, and they all kind of like the controls for all of them are similar, but they all have different sort of like, you know, strengths and weaknesses. Like you can get a great sword and it's going to move really slow, but you can maybe take down like larger groups of enemies all at once. The thing that I hate the most is like the parry doesn't feel good, which is such a like Yeah, yes, exactly. Like when you're doing like a melee comp based like sword combat game, you want the parry to feel good, and it just doesn't, and the timing feels so off. I could never get the timing right, even when I thought I was timing things properly to deflect incoming attacks. And so that's weird. The other thing that I dislike about the combat is like the animations are the same. Like you can get people down to like, once you get them down to low enough health, you can kind of do like an execute on them.
Mm-hmm.
But the execute animation is almost the same, like 99.9% of the time. Like there's like a decapitation animation that you can do in the game. I've seen that hundreds upon hundreds of times at this point.
Mm.
And so in that sense, it just gets very stale. There are some like fun aspects though. Like again, like broadly the combat is not terrible, and there's like a mastery system. So like if you like decide you want to index heavily into a katana, you can unlock more abilities and more moves and more combat styles and stuff like that, that will then make your prowess with that weapon a little bit better. So it feels like you're progressing and unlocking new stuff. So that's kind of, that was something that I enjoyed with it at least. And then there's also like guns and bow and arrow, and there's a flamethrower, which I would just pull out of my back pocket and light people on fire in the middle of these like sword fighting engagements. I'm like, okay, what if I pulled out a flamethrower here and just let you all on fire? And so in that sense, it's kind of, there's a lot of like ways you can approach combat. There's stealth sequences. Like I mentioned, there's a glider. You can glide in on, you know, an encampment and just drop out of the sky and stab people. So there are like cool moments in the game, mm-hmm. but like moment to moment when you're like screwing off with people one-on-one, it's not anything special. Like I like the Neo games. I think that the Neo games actually feel good, and I like the combat in those games. And this is from the same director as those games. And I think this is just like a step back in a lot of ways. I don't know. Again, it feels like they're trying to do so many things at once. Like let's try to did you play Sekiro?
Yes.
Okay. What's the
poorly?
What is the like the stamina bar that you're always trying to work down in that game? You know what I'm talking about though.
Yeah.
There's like a stance bar or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's something akin to that in this. And if you get somebody's stance down low enough after like parrying or blocking, then you can deal major damage to them, but you can also just do normal hits to them and damage them. And then there's there's like stealth assassinations you can do a la Assassin's Creed. So it really is just like a lot of ideas thrown together in a mix. And it's like, maybe these will all play well together with one another. And they really don't. Like it's just we're reaching a point with open world games, and I think this has been pretty common over the past, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. Like if you're just going to create an open world game and all you're going to do is like deck the map out with like little points of interest that you can run to. And in this game, it's, you know, it's finding little interaction points. So they're like flags is basically what you can interact with. And those are like your checkpoints. So you can run around and find a bunch of flags. You can also run around and pet a bunch of cats. So there's just like little things like that scattered all throughout the game. There's chests you can search, but none of it's interesting, and it just feels like you're checking off a to-do list.
So that's my second question. So some open world games you can just kind of skip the open world and just play the story. Is that possible here? And if you did that, would it make it a better game?
Yeah, I guess. Well, the thing is like the through line story and the main missions are not good. And the one thing I have not brought up is like the voice acting in this game, horrible. Like worst voice acting I have heard in a game in a very long time. Like it sounds like this game was ripped out of 2002 with the voice acting. Oh,
so like Resident Evil voice acting.
It's not good. It is actually wild how bad this is for a AAA video game. So in that sense, the story is not great. The characters aren't great. The biggest problem I had with the story is that like your character is a creative character, but they don't do a good job. I mean, you know, some creative character games are fine. Like I think of like Mass Effect or something like that, where it's like, okay, like you can make your own character, but they're still of a certain mold. Mm-hmm. That is not the case here. Your character is just like a total like blank slate that has no characteristics or personality of any sort. And so your whole experience with the story is just kind of influenced by like what people are telling you, I guess. Like, you know, like at the start of the game, like somebody dies and they're like, oh, you need to go get revenge, do this, blah, 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 blah. They're like telling you what to do rather than your character being like, oh, wow, I'll set off on this quest, you know?
Yeah.
Just like, people are like, you should go do this. And they're like, okay, I'll do that. Like, there's just no real, like, there is no personality to the main character whatsoever. And so it makes for a very strange through line story arc. So yeah, I mean, again, this is a PlayStation 5 exclusive. I do not think that this is worth running out to grab. This is retailing for $70. I gave it a 3 out of 5 on our scale. The Metacritic score currently for this one is sitting at a 76, which is not, and it's not horrible, but it's not necessarily great. And it's not what you expect from like PlayStation published stuff, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
There's like, there's usually a little bit of a higher bar of quality there that I think people expect from games that are published by Sony. Like I think even second party stuff, like I think of like Helldivers earlier this year, is like, that's been a huge hit. Sony published that game and helped fund it, but they obviously didn't, one of their own studios didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same sort of thing here, but it is just not, it's not interesting. Again, this is just if you are dying for an open world checklist game for some sort of reason, then sure, like this might do it for you. But in the wake of, you know, Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, Red Dead Redemption 2, Witcher 3, like all these other
even
games,
Rebirth,
all these other games that have come about and have like tried to do more interesting, novel things in the open world space for quite some time now, like this takes it back to like Assassin's Creed 2 era in some sense. And so it's a very,
but
very,
that is the best Assassin's Creed game though. So
it is, well, it's a fun one.
Yeah.
But, this game is not as good as Assassin's Creed 2 even is.
Too bad.
So, yeah, I think this is a safe skip. Again, if you opt to buy it, I don't think you're going to outright hate it, but I just do not. I kind of felt a similar way about Ghost of Tsushima, and then everybody ended up like lauding that game and calling it one of the best PlayStation games ever. So, you know, maybe I'm just the outlier here. Make up your own mind, but
I don't do that, Logan. You said Ghost of Tsushima is bad, and I never played it. And I'm not playing Rise of Ronin either.
See?
I only listen to Logan. That's who I come to for my reviews.
That's what we all wish. That's the kind of influence we wish we would have as reviewers. But it's not always the case. All right, let's talk briefly here about one other game, MLB The Show 24. Ricky, you and I have both been playing this. I've been playing this too much. I think I told you I've played like 25 to 30 hours of this already. Like all I did this past weekend was sit around and play this. How are you feeling about this year's game? What do you think they need to improve on? Like, I don't know. Where are you at with it so far?
So I think it is... I think The Show has had the best sports game on the market since, I don't know, probably like 2K21, maybe 22.
2K fell off about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah. And I think that continues this year. I feel like pitches, and I think this is just because it's earlier in the game, I think pitches are a little easier to read. So like I'm better at spotting balls and strikes now, but I don't think there's any like major, major gameplay changes that have really like impacted me. I will say that there are a bunch of smaller things. So like, for instance, this one is very small and most people probably don't care about it, but in franchise mode, it now will keep track of the awards your players win, which I used to do in a spreadsheet. So it's like little things like that that make me very excited. I think that how hard they're going on the storylines is very cool. Like coming back to that again. With the Negro Leagues, I think it's smart to spread it out because when it was all there last year, that was kind of like a bit overwhelming. So bringing it out slowly. Last year I was like, oh, I'm really glad they're doing the Negro Leagues, but also I can't wait for them to get into other stories past the, like, you know, when we're like 2 or 3 years down the line. And then they went and did Derek Jeter.
And then they start with the freaking Yankees, which
like is just, I don't know, like Derek, it's kind of my problem with 2K stuff where they do like Michael Jordan and Kobe. Of course you're going to do those players, right? And it's my same problem with WWE this year, right? They're doing WrestleMania. Everyone knows WrestleMania's story. Everybody knows Derek Jeter's story. We don't need a Derek Jeter mode. I would prefer if they like went further back and did some players that aren't as well known. But then at the same time, when I say that, is anybody going to care if they bring in like Pete Reisner and tell Pete Reisner's story? No, no one's buying the game for Pete Reisner except for me and like three other people. But that's the kind of stuff I would prefer, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I think I will say
real fast on the Jeter stuff. What's weird about that too is like, I want to say it was like 2, 3, 4 years ago, they did like the whole like Derek Jeter, the captain edition. They had like a big blowout for Jeter in one of those games. And then it's been like just a couple of years since it. I know they didn't have the storyline stuff back then, but for it to only be at a period of a couple of years and for them to immediately come back and be like, guess what, guys, buy this game because of Derek Jeter. It's like, we already did this. Like, what are we, what? And so that's been weird. The thing I was most glad about with the Jeter storyline stuff is that they sprinkle in like other players you could unlock. Like, like Jeter faced Greg Maddux in the World Series one time. You could unlock Greg Maddux here. It's like, okay, cool. Like, that's what I want more so than anything tied to Jeter himself. Like, they throw Chili Davis in there for some reason that you can unlock, which I thought was really funny. So that stuff was appreciated. But the Jeter alone, it's like, okay, you guys could have gone in any other direction here. So
I'm surprised. I think obviously the Jeter stuff, the Jeter storyline is cool for Yankees fans, but even the Red Sox run to win their first title, I think would be more interesting than the Jeter stuff again. I mean, I know that stuff is overplayed at this point too, but at least it's like, you know, an underdog story, not the most expensive team in sports having more money. They won some titles.
They could have had a Griffey Jr. storyline mode where you go to Cincinnati and blow out your knee in consecutive seasons. And
they do like a rewind history and he doesn't blow out his knee.
That would be, I mean, he would have hit like 900 home runs then, dude. That made me so sad when I was a kid with that happen. Yeah, anyway. But what else? Have you been toying around with Diamond Dynasty or anything else?
Yeah, I've pretty much exclusively been playing Diamond Dynasty outside of the storylines and like checking out Road to the Show because they have the new women in there now. I still think that mode could use like some more guided storylines, but also that's pretty tough to do in a yearly sports game. But I think Diamond Dynasty is in a good spot. However, I'm very concerned that the new way they're doing Team Affinity could turn into a slog or could become bad quickly just because how they're like spreading it out over three releases each season, longer seasons. Like, it just seems like it's going to be a lot, which in some ways is good, but in other ways it just depends. Like, you know, it just depends on what they do with it, right? It's just like when 2K introduced, they took out the auction house last year, and at first it was like, okay, this could be good or it could be terrible, we don't know. So that's always the tough part about reviewing sports games with like yearly modes that last all year, is that you don't know what these changes are going to do in the first week. And if it looks good, it might not look good in 2 months. So, you know, when I write my review today, I will be mentioning that quite a bit.
Yeah. I think I'm going to try to, so each year my sort of pattern with the show is like, I'll play it a lot for the first like 4 to 6 weeks. And then probably about the time season 2 in game rolls around, like, I have fallen off and I've gone to other things, which is just sort of a product of like our jobs to some degree. Like, it's always about like the next thing, gotta go play the next thing. I'm going to try to stick with it a little bit more this year because I've really enjoyed it, and I always enjoy all of these games, but I have not stuck with a full 5 or 6 season run that they normally do for a full calendar year of support for all of these games. So I'm going to try to do that this year, and we'll see how it goes. I'm really enjoying it so far though. I think the Diamond Dynasty stuff has been enjoyable so far. I will say, like, as far as like the Team Affinity progress stuff, like, I know that like the worst thing about that to me is like they give you a lot of XP on those tracks for if you like go online and play against others, and it's just like, you know, pitch this many innings or do this many things, and a lot of people just like go online and just like don't play the games, and they just kind of let it like autoplay itself because you can still rack up like innings pitched with your pitchers and you will get XP for those, and they'll just kind of let it play itself in the background, which makes the online portion of the game like terrible. Like, it's very weird that they, like, I understand that they want to give people XP for, you know, going online and beating other players and stuff like that and doing well in an actual competitive environment, but some of the quests really don't lend themselves to that whatsoever. But those are also some of the easiest ways to earn XP. So I think they could throw in some additional ways to earn XP that doesn't feel like it's pulling teeth, but also doesn't hamper the online community, because it feels like that's absolutely
where it's at to some degree.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're definitely not wrong. That's a constant problem across all sports games.
Yeah.
I'm also guilty of, you know, putting a rubber band on my controller and turning FIFA on while I'm working and not actually playing the game so I can get games played happening.
Last thing I want to say before we get out, because we got to go. I know we have a hard out here in just a couple minutes. But I was playing this game the opening weekend in early access. Man, there some people that get in on this early access are wild. I played I went online and played once. I was like, I'm going to go online and play one person. The guy I played had Ohtani, Trout, Tatis, like all this stuff. I'm like, dude, how much? Like, I know you can game the market and get a lot of stubs like that right away, but it's like the game's been out for 24 hours and you have already got all of the, like, some of the biggest players in the entire game, of the biggest live series or core series players. And the game, it's like, how much money are people spending on this?
A lot, Logan, a lot.
So I'm not a fan of that. Just grind subs the way I do. Don't put money in the game. You do not need to spend $200 to unlock Shohei Ohtani. I promise you it's okay. Even though that would be very fun to have him.
Well, you got anyway. Tatis last night, I saw. So
I did rip Tatis. I ripped Tatis last night and Kyle Tucker out of just straight normal packs. So I was very happy with that. I'm starting to get a good little live series career. I think I've gotten Juan Soto this year as well. So
nice.
I've got a couple good pulls. I'm happy. I'm almost completing my conquest map. So
there we go.
That's it for this episode of Quick Save. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for listening to us talk about MLB The Show for way longer than you probably care about, I'm going to imagine. We'll be back here in the future with a new episode where we'll talk about whatever else is coming out or whatever other news is broken in the gaming industry. Until that time, you can keep up with all of our other shows here on Comic Book Nation. We've got The Pull List, which is all about comics. We've got our anime show, which is all about anime. And then we've got the main Comic Book Nation show, which goes up on Fridays, which is about everything geek culture related. So be sure to check out all of those other shows here on the Comic Book Nation feed. And until next time, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.